Checking in again with Quincy City Council President Ian Kane for a recap of the March 3rd, 2025 City Council meeting. Hey, Ian, how are you?
Hey Joe, I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy it's March. I'm happy it's going to warm up soon.
Can't take the cold.
No, I'm done with it. If I never see
Okay.
snow again, it'll be too soon.
Wow,
Yes.
geez.
Did I say that
That's
publicly?
fine. Winter every year, 3 months, and we're almost through it.
Okay. I've lived on longer than you. That's why.
That's true. That's true.
Actually, an interesting meeting I thought last night regarding the FEMA. It doesn't get a lot of fanfare, but the FEMA flood maps is critically important to folks who it impacts for sure.
Absolutely. I said something to the effect of that last night because a lot of this work had come before I joined the council in 16. And I remember it being a very hot issue at the time because, I mean, it was challenging people financially, whether or not storms had happened or there was any effect to their property due to weather-related events. There was a mandate that came from on high that said, well, you now have to you need to take out an insurance policy on your home and your property in the event of flood or weather-related event. And so and it's not too bad. I think when you see some of these things that are taking place and now the Carolinas and California, the wildfires and the kind of terrible situation that's going on with people trying to recuperate their properties and the insurances that are involved there. It did seem that there was almost a bit of rent seeking that was sort of implemented through this FEMA measure. But I suppose that in the event that adverse events do happen, it's better to be prepared, although there's a financial consequence to it. So it's good to know that DPW is still on top of this. This hasn't just gone away. The problem hasn't been solved. In fact, it sounds like from the presentation that we heard last night, Al Grazioso, Paul Costello, Joe Shea from Granite City Partners, they continue to at least assuage or make better the situation as much as possible. So alleviating some of the financial burdens from residents, especially as they have gone with granular detail to try to understand how accurate these maps that were provided to them. They're doing remodeling to understand what areas truly are part of the flood zones, and then filing accordingly with the federal government to make sure that people are either relieved from some of the financial burden or exonerated from having to take out that insurance anyway. They've been working on this issue for 20 years, so this is some of the stuff that there's a lot of the headline grabbing stuff, but this isn't the stuff that's in the paper every week or every month or at all. So, Joe Shea from Granite City Partners titled this as a good news story, because they continue, as I said, to sort of make progress. I'm trying to think of some of the highlights here that I could share, but I think that the next there's sort of a timeline for the next update, which will be this summer. And so last night, which was I guess the second item on the agenda, was a floodplain overlay district that was drawn. So making an amendment to the zoning code to codify these new flood maps. So we'll take a look at that in the ordinance committee at a future date. But the new maps, once we do approve them, will go into effect this July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I know so one of the key takeaways that I watched a portion of the presentation, property owners kind of need to be proactive in determining whether or not they are in or out of the flood zone. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just, I mean, even showing this real quick, you can see the dramatic changes between 2017. This is Blue Street. So 2017 flood map, which is just a big blob, but this is actually the true effects, with the work that they've done to try to understand it, to narrow it down and make it more accurate. So, and
Yes.
that's a big change,
There's
and
hundreds
that's
of properties impacted there.
correct. And that's just one small area. That's one, street in Quincy. And so, there's information that's available through the city's GIS system, which is on accessible through the city's website. There's a how to check your status and What I would suggest is, there's a run through here, but we're going to make this available. I'll send this out through my newsletter and we'll put it up on the Ward 3 site. And I'm sure my colleagues will do the same because it affects many of their areas as well. But it's the GIS viewer is available right when you go to the quincyma.gov site. You go to the business tab, and then under the business tab, you select GIS property viewer. And then you could take a tutorial, enter your address, and you can select themes. You can toggle between the 2017 version of the FEMA maps and the 2025 version of the FEMA maps.
Yeah. Do you know, Ian, were any properties added to the flood zone that previously were not? That was the part I wasn't quite clear about.
I didn't hear that
Okay.
last night.
Okay. But again, it's as I understand, after July 8th, the maps will be approved, and then property owners should check their status.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. It's very important. Good. Good.
No, it's very important. I mean, there's a ton of work that's gone into this.
Yes, and a lot of
And
money too.
the cool thing is the work has been recognized apparently. It's like I was trying to think. So the FEMA has apparently a community rating system, and Quincy has been rated the best coastal city in Massachusetts. Now, I don't know what goes into that rating. I mean, it's created by FEMA, the same people who mandated that you get this insurance to begin with. So I don't know, what that really means, but I guess you get a discount. You get a 15% discount on flood insurance for flood insurance payers, which is, it's, you don't really see that savings because you didn't want to have to pay for it to begin with. But anyway, that's a good thing.
Right. Okay, great. If you could share that information with me also, we'll put it up here at QATV as well.
Happy to.
Okay, great. All
Okay.
righty. And a bunch of
So,
orders too last night.
yeah, we had a bunch of orders. We had four orders. They were all what are called, I guess, Municipal School Building Authority, which is the state governing body that allows us to recuperate costs when we improve or construct school buildings. So, we approved four statements of interest for various work to take place in Point Webster Middle School, Parker Elementary School, Broadmeadows Middle School, as well as Atlantic Middle School. And the work that would be contemplated for any future application in the future is around replacement, renovation, or modernization of school facility systems, such as roofs, windows, boilers, heating and ventilation systems to increase energy conservation and decrease energy-related costs in a school facility. So those all moved. I guess they call that accelerated repair.
Okay. And all put into committee.
They were all approved. They
Oh,
passed.
okay.
It's just a statement that we approved that allows the administration to go forward with any accelerated repair applications that they're going to put forward.
Gotcha. They would have to come back for appropriation
For
if they
money.
wanted.
That's
Okay.
correct.
Gotcha.
We then nominated and elected three members to the Quincy Park Rent and Recreation Board. The new members, or I think these folks had already been on. So Paul Bergoli, Kevin Esdale, and Thomas Lester are the three that were moved. I had put forward a resolution last night, again, another very important piece of federal legislation that is going to be considered is the tax-exempt status on municipal bonds. So that's in jeopardy of, I mean, it needs to be reapproved, let's put it that way. As cities and towns across the country, including Quincy, that's their primary mechanism for raising capital in order to do projects like the FEMA work, like infrastructure roadway work, like the school buildings work. That's how we raise money in order to do big projects like that. And what the tax exempt status allows is for, so basically any investor, which are mostly institutional investors, do not have to pay tax on the interest on those bonds. And so if those bonds all of a sudden needed to be taxed, our cost of capital, which is driven down because it's tax exempt, and so the costs are not paid forward, would probably double. And so that's something, it's not just a Quincy thing. This is a city municipalities across the country that would be affected. And so, I put forward a resolution just expressing our support for renewing the tax exempt status on municipal bonds, and that passed unanimously. And we'll send, our expression of support to our federal legislation, our legislators, the delegation, so that they're aware. But again, no one's talking about this, but it's a hugely important thing, and this is something that would affect the entire nation.
Yeah, are municipal bonds taxed by the stadium?
Do you mean no? They're not. So
No. Okay.
they're wholly tax exempt.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Yeah.
It's important. Yeah.
It is very important. And then we had a gift for DARE, $1,600 for the DARE program from various contributors. And that was our program last night.
Very good. And next meeting.
Next meeting is on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Very good. I expect you to be in your green.
Actually, now that you say it, Joe, I will remember that and I will be wearing my green and I'll give you a shout out, okay?
That sounds great. Thanks for your update. I appreciate
Joe.
it. Take care.